4 is where I'll be. I have a message tonight that my message is 10 on the practical side. This is what you do. This message is more informational, and I actually thought this is going to be a short message. I was just working on it this week and thought, well, it's kind of a basic message and kind of simple, but Lord knew that that's what we kind of needed tonight, and it's probably all I'm up to. And so Acts 4, and tonight I want to talk about the power of Jesus' name, the power of Jesus' name. And again, I just want you to understand some doctrine, just understand some truth in the Word of God, and what the Bible teaches about Jesus' name, and what it does. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's pretty good, because the church, the same church, had just had 3,000 saved at Pentecost, and not long after, now they have 5,000. The reason for this is what happened is they were walking into the temple, and there's a beggar there, and the beggar says, "Can you give me some money?" And Peter, being a pastor, says, "Silver and gold have I none. And but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man got up and walked, and for 40 years people knew him and saw him, and a big commotion started, and so that's kind of where the story is. And then in the end, 5,000 people. So this church now, opened just a very short period of time, has now had 8,000 saved. And it came up, but by the way, when God is doing something, Satan is coming. I was preaching to the pastors that problems are part of the ministry. And one of the messages that seemed to help them the most is, I said, you know, look at Moses' ministry. You say if the leader does what he should do, then the people underneath will be follow and be fine. Well, I thought Moses was doing pretty good when he's getting the Ten Commandments and glowing, his face is glowing with the presence of God. And how are the people doing? They were worshiping an idol, bowing down to it, dancing naked, and in idolatry. You cannot lead people out of free will. People can still, you can do everything right. And somebody, now it helps a lot when you're the right kind of leader. But Moses, I mean, he came out of Egypt, brought him out of slavery, brings to the Red Sea. They complain, "You brought us here to kill us." He parts the Red Sea. They walk across, there's no water. They say, "Let's kill him and go back to Egypt." He brings water from the rock. They complain, give us bread to eat. He gives them bread, and it rains bread down from heaven. Wouldn't you think by this time they'd say, you know, this guy's a pretty good leader. Parts the Red Sea, gets us out of slavery, makes water come out of a rock, makes it rain food. He's not doing too bad. Maybe a good, pretty good leader. And they said, "We want meat." So he gets some meat, and they complain about the meat. And every step of the way, there's problems. The only time Moses had peace in his ministry, where it wasn't fighting and complaining and problems, the only time there wasn't real problems was during the dying time, 40 years of wandering. He's just waiting for those people to die off. Everybody over 20 had to wander for 40 years till they died. And I want to say this, when a church is dying, when a Christian is dying, a lot of the problems go away because Satan is not after them. It's like an enemy army looking and saying, you know, those guys over there are snoring. They're too afraid to shoot. Let's not focus on them. Let's focus on these guys. Churches who are going to do anything for God, Christians who are going to do anything for God, should expect problems, an attack of Satan. If you want to do nothing, the devil's not at least a bit afraid of you. He'll take it easy on you. He starts swinging at the Christians who are doing something. And so they're doing something, and here comes the problems. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and many that were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, "By what power and by what name do you do this?" They arrested the leaders who just raised a man who is lame for 40 years. And so they say, "How did you do this? And by what power did you do this?" Peter, fortunately, was filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 8. Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done in the impotent man, which by what means he was made whole, Be it known unto you all that by, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders. Ye rejected him, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They are not ashamed of it. They say it was by the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we did this thing. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about the power of Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you for the word of God. And I pray tonight with this message, Lord, I believe it's what you have for us tonight, Father. I pray it'd be practical for us and we would love your word and be excited about your truths and understand this wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills me, my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 what a name, what a lovely name is the name of Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Lord, there's so many beautiful songs written about the name of Jesus. May we understand, may we get knowledge and wisdom in these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you start doing anything and you start being productive, understand problems come. I've always found this, they're criticizing the way this man was healed. Why? Because it took the spotlight off of the religious leaders. Why? They've been walking by this guy for 40 years. And the man would never got better. And I've always said this, criticize by doing something better. Criticize by doing something better. If you're just jealous because God is using somebody else, if you're jealous because somebody is doing has a blessing, we get very petty sometimes, don't we? These leaders, how did you do this? What name did you do this? How did you heal this man? How about, that was awesome, guys. That guy's been walking for 40 years. Man, that's great, he's walking. How'd you do that? But it wasn't that. It was, how'd you do this? They arrested them. You know, you didn't do it through us. It wasn't through our way. Who do you think you are? We don't want people looking to you guys for leadership. You're ignorant and unlearned. We're the leaders. We're the Pharisees who have the great knowledge and the great ideas and great thoughts and the power and the money, and we're political leaders. And you guys can't just be some guy on the street doing some great thing. You got to have all the tapestry. You got to have all the things that make you look right. You got to be well known. You got to have a name. Now, how about just anybody who wants to be used by God, no matter if anybody knows him or not? How about you just say, there's a need here. Let's go fill it. Doesn't matter if I get recognized. It doesn't matter if anybody thinks I'm anything big. I was telling Brother Samuel, he was the one from St. Lucia, and he says, he started asking me about what we were doing. And I said, Brother, I got it made. Nobody, he says, how come I've never heard of you when you're doing these things? I said, because I want it that way. I don't want anybody to know who I am. I like obscurity. I don't want to be noticed, looked at, talked about. Notoriety brings criticism. I don't want any notoriety. You know what? The Haitians like me and they don't know how to gossip yet. So until they learn that, I'm fine here. And so, listen, there is a need, they filled it. And the critics come out. Why? Usually petty people criticize because somebody doing good, they know they're not doing good. It's their conscience convicting them. So in order to make themselves look good, they have to attack those who are doing great things. I've often said, you know, if you want to play in the NBA, because you go out and cut off a guy's legs and he's no longer 7 feet tall, now he's 5 feet eight, does not mean you can dunk. Tearing down others does not make you bigger. Lowering everybody else down does not make you higher. When your conscience is convicting you, you decide you have to attack people who are doing the things that you know you ought to be doing, so you criticize. And that's what they began to do. And so they took him to court, they judged them, they said, and Peter says, hey, you know what? We did this by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you rejected. Salt, salt, salt. And he says, you rejected him, but now you threw that rock away, saying this is no good for the foundation. That rock became the foundation for all God is doing. You missed it. That didn't go over well. And verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived, they were supposed to be afraid of these Pharisees. They were supposed to be afraid of the council of the Sanhedrin, but they weren't. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They weren't Bible college graduates. They were 3.5 years of Jesus graduates. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing among them, they could say nothing against it. I talked about, and so they're very bold. Where did it come from? How did they do that? They're very open about where it came from and how they did it. They just said what happened. Chapter 3 and verse 6 was the event. It says, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And so he did this in the name of Jesus. We explained, I don't remember when it was, we explained, we're out of town, times get all messed up. I preached on the name of Jesus in prayer. And then when you pray, and you're talking to God in Jesus' name, it doesn't mean a tag on the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name, amen, although that's fine. It means that you're coming through the authority and saying, I am praying, God, because this is Jesus, I'm in Jesus' place. And I'm doing the work of Jesus. It's like if you went and I said, go down and go to this person here, and they know me, and go down there and tell them I told you to give them $50. Tell them it's for me, okay? You'd be going to that person in my name because you're doing my work and you're doing what I said to do. If your boss says, tell them to put it on my account, you go down and buy the supplies in your boss's name, the so-and-so corporation, so-and-so business. Why? You're going in their name from their place. So when you pray in Jesus' name, those are prayers that you are doing something for God. And you say, God, I'm doing this in Jesus' name. I ask you in Jesus' name to do this because this is what Jesus would want. That's praying in Jesus' name. That's what it's for. That's what it means. It isn't a tag on the end of your prayer, although I don't think that's necessarily wrong. It says in his authority. John 14:13, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, so the name of Jesus is what that we pray in. The name of Jesus we see is the way they healed, and we'll get to that later. But what is the name of Jesus? Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, because this name is huge in the Bible. It's the name, the Bible says, which is above every name. Matthew 1. And verse 21. A command of what to name your baby. That sure makes it cheaper than buying the baby books. Baby name books, hasn't it? An angel comes and says, name him this. And you don't even have to look through that whole book. And how many have ever looked through a baby name book? My wife and daughters look through those things, and then they hand it to me and say, what do you think of these ones? And I do the good husband thing. I say, love it. Love it. Love it. And then I say, how about this one? And we eventually come to a name. We've agreed on most every name, and we've had a lot of opportunities. And no baby name book here. The angel told him what to name him. In verse 21, Matthew 1, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So here's a name because it has a meaning. The name of Jesus, what it means, the Jah on it is Jehovah, the Lord is what it means, the Lord. And the name is also, in Hebrew, the name is Yeshua, same as Joshua. In the Greek name is the way we get it to us. You know how names are different. In English, somebody's name is Jesus, and in Spanish is Jesus. It's a different way of saying. Everywhere I go in the world, they can't say Joel. I don't know why they can't say it. In the Philippines, when I go to Guatemala, if I go to whatever country I go to in Haiti, I am Pastor Joel, always. I just say it the first time because I know no one in the world can say Joel in a single syllable. I don't know why. And so they say, Pastor Joel, and they always say that. And so that the Greek way, which is the way we say it, Jesus, it's Yeshua, if you wanted to say it properly in Hebrew. That name of Jesus, what it means is the Lord saves. That's what the word means. The Lord saves us. The Lord delivers us. The Lord saves. That's what it means. It's simply. So let's look at this verse. And thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. His name is the Lord saves. So, some things about the name of Jesus and what it's supposed to do for us, the power of Jesus' name. Number one, we must believe that name for salvation. Okay, let's go to 1 John and give you a couple of verses. Now, there's a lot of verses on this. We just read Acts 4. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, wait a minute. Stop for a sec. The Bible words itself carefully. It doesn't say there's no other person given among men whereby we must be saved. It'll say that in other spots, but it says there's no other name given among men whereby we are saved, by that name, whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is huge. That name, you have to believe on it to be saved. Now, first, they added an addition to Jesus' name. The name was the Lord Saves, the first name. They put, it's not his last name. You didn't have a last name in Bible times, but they would put something on you if you got labeled something, like an Indian name, you know, Running Deer or whatever your name is, because it meant something. And so you name that, you add a surname onto that, and so they put Christ on there, which means this is the anointed one. The Lord Saves, this is the anointed one, Jesus Christ. And so they added that name, like Judas Iscariot, Judas Betrayer. That became his name, what he was known by. He was the betrayer. And so there's many Judases and many Jesus in Bible times. 1 John chapter 3. And so you decided if you believed on somebody's name that was given them. Names were very important in Bible times. They chose names very carefully, and it was, had a meaning to it. 1 John, and we don't, in English, don't do that much. But certainly, God changed people's names in the Bible. Jacob to Israel, others, Abram to Abraham. God changed names because your name meant something. Your name could be changed for good or bad. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. What are we believing on? The name. What's the name of his Son? Jesus Christ. It says that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the commandment of God. And love one another as he gave his commandment. The well-known 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, it says you believe on his name. Why? Because if you believe in work salvation, if you don't believe he's a Son of God, in any of those events, you don't believe his name fits him. If you believe you're going to be good enough to go to heaven, it is not the Lord saves, it's you saved. Make sense? You're not believing on him. You're not believing on that name because you believe that the church saves. And so you don't believe on his name that he says the Lord saves. That's why he will save his people from their sins. Do you believe that Jesus was a Son of God who the Lord uses to save? Do you believe on that name that was given him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe on that name? And believing we might have life through his name, it says. There's many verses on this. Do you believe? It's part of salvation. It's an acknowledgement that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that he is the one that saves us. It is not. The name is not magical, but you're believing on him that his name is true. You're believing, you're trusting him. You say, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. The Lord saves. I believe on the name of Jesus Christ that the Lord saves. And so you believe that. And so you do that. Number one, we believe on that name for salvation. How powerful is it? You believe on that name for salvation. Now, many times in preaching, it'll say many times, he that believes in the Son hath everlasting life. I understand that. Or as many times, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. But God, it's the same thing. You're believing that he's the Savior who saves us. You believe his name is true. You can believe. That's why the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When you say, I believe that Jesus is Lord, you're believing the record that God gave, which he was the Son of God who came to die for our sins and rose again from the dead. I believe the gospel. He is the Lord Jesus. It's fun to watch the cult sometimes squirm at this. Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Well, he's powerful. He's a God. Do you believe he is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's look at this over here. They can't say that because the devil always attacks the deity of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you confess that you believe that he is the Lord. Number two, we preach in that name. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Number one, we believe in that name. Number two, we preach in that name. This name of Jesus is very powerful. Acts chapter 5. We preach in the name of Jesus. We preach his word. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach in the name of Jesus. Our message is not you being moral. The message is not Open Door Baptist Church. Our message is not you're great or wonderful. Our message is not we're holier than them. Our message is we're preaching the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. Are y'all sick too? You okay? All right. Acts chapter 5. And verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had recalled the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Notice that. They said, you can do what you want to do, fine, heal the guy, do what you want to do, but do not speak in the name of Jesus. That's forbidden. Acts chapter 9, and verse 29, don't speak in the name of Jesus. In verse Acts 9:29, and they spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed with the Grecians, but they went about to slay them. They preached in Jesus' name. We've had such a fascinating thing happen in the last 10 years in the courts. They, the atheists, have gone massively against. They said, you can pray to Allah, you can pray to Buddha, you can pray to God, you can pray to the Lord, but do not pray in Jesus' name. That is going all over the place. Court case after court case after court case, every corner of this nation, they have said, you can pray whatever you want. We don't mind you praying. You can pray to the Wicca God. You can pray to whatever you want. But the one thing that they will not accept is praying in Jesus' name. When President Bush was inaugurated, his first inauguration, he prayed in Franklin Graham prayed it in. And at the end of his prayer, he put in Jesus' name. There was a big stink. That wasn't inclusive. Why would you say in Jesus' name? That just puts out all the Muslims and all the Jews and all this and that. Listen, the name of Jesus can divide. You will find you can stand there. Here's the new thing that Christians who are not bold are afraid to do. Here's what they do now. We talk about faith. Faith is very important to me. And you know what everybody does? That's wonderful. Oh, faith is so important. Faith in what? Well, this tree, it gives me comfort. I believe in the tree. This is my friend. And you can put faith in whatever you want. And you can talk about God and you're still okay. But all of a sudden you're saying, Jesus is my best friend. All right, well, we gotta get going here. People get uncomfortable at the name of Jesus. Why? There's power in it. It's specific. Tells which God you're talking about. Talks about which way to God. And the name of Jesus. They said, you can preach in any name, it's fine, not in the name of Jesus. However, we're Christians, little Christ, we believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and we ain't shutting up. We're going to talk about Jesus. We aren't shutting up. I know it's bad English. Did you hear that? You didn't notice, did you? My wife is the master of English, and I do it just to torture her, and she loves me anyway. What an amazing wife, and we as a good couple. And so we're not afraid of the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Not afraid of the name of Jesus. By the way, praise God, one of those things went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled right about 1 month ago. Said, yep, you can have whoever you want to come pray. A Christian area, it's northeast somewhere, Connecticut. Delaware's. Where? New York. Okay. It's upstate New York. And they prayed. They had a lot of prayer in Jesus' name. And the Supreme Court said, you know what? It's freedom of religion. Thank God they don't always get them right nowadays. But they got that one right. You know what? The name of Jesus. It's powerful. It makes a difference. People who don't like God don't like the name of Jesus. And they squirm. You may do everything, but do not do that. You start witnessing. You begin to talk about Jesus. Things aren't comfortable. But you know what? We're not seeking division. We're not seeking strife. But there's one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So we better talk about it. It means something. It means something. Number three, we call on that name. The famous Romans 10:13, you don't need to turn there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. You can claim, look, in the Bible they claimed the name of God and said, you are Jehovah Jireh, can you provide for me? You are this, I am calling on your name. Let's illustrate this kind of in the way we think. Let's say you're sitting there at a dinner and you guys are all like eating somewhere and one of the guys sitting there is talking about, man, I'm Mr. Money, I got so much money. And he's bragging and bragging and bragging and all of a sudden the bill comes along and it's more than you thought. You know, said you call on his name. You know, you said you were Mr. Money. Prove it. Or the guy says, I'm Mr. Muscle. Okay, good. We need to, my car needs push. It's out of gas. You said you're Mr. Muscle. We're calling on your name. In other words, you ask them to do it so you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, you said you save. I claim your name. I'm calling upon your name to save me. Whosoever, anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord. What's the name of the Lord? Jesus. The Lord saves. Shall be saved. God is not making salvation complicated. He says it's through Jesus. You can call upon my name. You can believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, just come to Jesus and trust him as your Savior. And so he says you can call upon the name. Next, the name of Jesus is powerful. We can command things in the name of Jesus. Acts 16. Acts 16. The name of Jesus, in his name, we can command with authority. Acts 16. And we're going to go down to verse 18. Acts 16, verse 18, it says, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the spirit, the girl was possessed, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out, the demon, this same hour. He commanded through the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful and has an authority. Can I tell you one of the things I do when I'm in a spiritual war, when I'm struggling? You know, one of the most powerful things I ever do is I start singing songs with the name of Jesus in it. I might sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I sing it out loud. I used to do this at work at night, tired, exhausted, devil beating me up, and I was just having a hard time, and I would just start singing out loud, oh, how I love Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's just something about that name. And how many times did the oppression break? Now, the people at work thought I was nuts. People on the dock, driving by in a forklift, you all right, man? And but you know what? The name of Jesus is powerful. Demons don't like it. I remember there was a guy in Oregon, and he was kind of loony, and so he was kind of crazy, but he seemed normal. That's the worst ones, the ones who seem normal but aren't normal. And that was this guy, and we loved him, and love everybody. And this guy, he came and he said, you know, I talked to an angel, and I have a special angel, and he talks to me and gives me messages. And I first met him 15 years ago. This angel was telling me all kinds of things, and I saw him, and he was powerful. And Roman and I were talking to the guy. And I asked him, are you an angel of Jesus? And he says, oh, don't say that name. I don't like the name of Jesus. I'm an angel, but I don't like the name of Jesus. I said, I would ID that angel that doesn't like the name of Jesus. I would see if he's got his heavenly driver's license, flyer's license, or whatever he gets, and say, you know, any angel doesn't like the name of Jesus, I'm a little leery of. Amen? The name of Jesus, you can command demons to come out. You better know what you're doing, though. Look at Acts 19. You can't just use that name. Remember, you can't use the authority of a name. It's like me going for your company into a business and say, hey, charge it to Joe's Construction Company. It worked for Bob. Do it for me. Listen, I don't have the authority to do that. I can say the name, but if I'm not sent by that guy, then I get in trouble. And here's an example of that, Acts 19 and Acts 19 and verse 14. It said, and there were there seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief priest, which did so. And let me go back a verse. They said, certain verse 13, certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And when there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, the chief priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Pretty bad when a demon gives you a facial whack. Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And then attacks them. Why? Because they didn't have any authority. They couldn't go in Jesus' name. They used the name of Jesus, but they had no right to use the name of Jesus. They weren't saved. And you need that authority to do that. Let me see. 2 Thessalonians. So in other words, the name of Jesus is powerful. We can rebuke. We can command in the name of Jesus. Do not do that lightly. Do not speak for Jesus when you're not speaking for Jesus. But there are times when God says, you have the authority, say this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And Paul's going to do this to believers. Now I command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's, by the way, that's the Bible term that's most commonly used. The Lord, you believe is God, Jesus Christ, the one who saves, the anointed one. We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. So he rebukes Christians in the name of Jesus. You have a right in Jesus' name, and there's an authority with it to say in Jesus' name, stop that. That's wrong. That's in the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Next, everybody will bow to the name of Jesus. Everybody. Philippians chapter 2, well-known verses. It doesn't say that they will bow to Jesus, which they will, I believe, but it says, more specifically, this name is so important to God. Watch how important this name is to God. Philippians 2 and verse 8. Philippians 2 and verse 8. And being found in the fashion as of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Jesus did. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, every knee, every person of every background, every culture, atheists, everybody. Arrogant people, people who don't believe, doesn't matter. Every knee will bow and say, they'll bow to the name of Jesus. He is Lord. The atheists who mock him and say he didn't even exist, everybody. Every knee will bow to the name of Jesus and say, this is the name which is above every name. It's the name above every name. And just lastly, on the name of Jesus, we should bring glory to that name. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. And verse 11 and 12. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling to fulfill and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you, as a pastor of a church who guards our name very carefully, we have a good name in this area. We have a good name. The Open Door Baptist Church is a good name as a church. We have helped a lot of people. We don't have people at Open Door, pretty dedicated, pretty serious Christians. We work hard to keep our name. I remember we gave out shirts for a while that said Open Door Baptist Church in the back and God Bless America in the front, and people earned them by memorizing verses, and I gave them out, and I thought, good night, what if somebody goes? Because we get rough people in our church. And goes out and does something bad. I could, you know, they're going to get arrested, and there's the camera, click, 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 Open Door Baptist Church. Oh, I would hate to see our name ruined. I would hate to see that. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches. I remember over the house, Pastor House in Indiana, he talked about how he decided, you know what, I've not been zealous enough lately, I'm going to go preach in a bar. And he went in the bar, and he went to the bartender and says, can I preach in the bar tonight? I want to preach in your bar, preach the gospel. And he said, if you're crazy enough to do that, go ahead. So he got up on the bar, and standing on top of the bar, he started preaching. And of all the crazy things, one of the guys that's sitting down there all drunk says, "Hey, you listen to him. That's my preacher." No, don't tell them that. But listen, it says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. David, when he went and committed adultery and murder, it says, "You have given reason of the enemies to blaspheme the name of the Lord." Listen, how dare we walk around and say, "I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus," and then live petty, bitter lives that bring shame to that wonderful name. I would rather you not say you're a Christian than say you're a Christian and bring shame on the name of Jesus. That's the name above every name. If we're going to say we're Christians, we better stand up to a very high standard and live in such a way that we make the name of Jesus look good, not bad. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. How about they say, "Man, those Christians are something else. Wow, those Christians, those ones." Now, I know Christianity in America doesn't have the greatest name because Christians in America are kind of jokes. They're mediocre. They're lukewarm. And the name of Jesus, it's got a lot of shame to it. TV preachers that are stealing and different controversies and immorality that's been done. And Christians who say they love Jesus on Sunday and Tuesday they're out drinking or beating their wife or do whatever they're doing. Listen, how about, I can't control what other churches do. I can't control what's on TV. I can control what I do. And you can control what you do about the name of Jesus. Make the name of Jesus look good. That's the name above every name. Boy, I'd hate to stand in front of God and God says, "You ruined my name in your neighborhood." Wow. That the name of Jesus may be glorified in you. So we should take that name, rebuke, have authority, preach that name, and glorify the name of Jesus. Make the name of Jesus look beautiful and glorious and real and powerful. And that's the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus' name. And that's great. There's a lot of great things there. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for the chance to just briefly tonight look at the doctrine of Jesus' name. Lord, maybe tonight we got a little understanding. It might not be the most practical message, but it is a message, Lord, that I think that we need to understand the truths of it. May we not be ashamed of that name. May we be bold to go tell people about Jesus. Please, Lord, help us to bring glory to your name. We're going to bow to that name. May we do it now. May we go out with the authority of Jesus Christ because we're doing your work and pray in that name and rebuke in that name and remove demonic power in that name of Jesus. May we just walk around singing it when we're in a dark place. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Help us to please you in the way we present it, in the way we live with it, the way we exalt it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.